Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord.
Praise the Lord and praise to be praised.
Every day I will bless you, loving God, and praise your name forever. We worship the God who has conquered sin and death, who is raised to eternal life, and who claims us each one as brothers and sisters with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us join together in our song of worship number 35, Immortal Invisible.
Thank you.
For this morning's invocation, I want to share with you a passage from Psalm 119, starting with verse 33. Let us pray together. Teach us, Lord, the way of your decrees, that we may follow them to the end. Give us understanding so that we may keep your law and obey it with all our heart. Direct us in the path of your commands, for there we find delight. Turn our hearts toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Finally, fulfill your promise to your servants so you may be feared. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven,
Good morning and welcome as we've gathered for our worship service this morning. We're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you're especially welcome, and we invite you to fill out a visitor's card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you, and you can turn that in the offering plate a little later on if you like. We have several things coming up this week. I'm assuming that everybody did well changing their clocks forward. I'm wondering if there might be some people who are late. Tomorrow, they tell us, it might snow. And of course, we will wait and see if it actually does. But the two don't go together, daylight savings and snow. But there are several things in the course of the week that we have coming up so that we can note. There, first of all, is a Bible study tonight. It will be week two of our Lenten Bible study. And it is on the I Am sayings in the Gospel of John. We had a good study last week. And this week we will be looking at I Am the Bread of Life and I Am the Living Water. So we look forward to that time at 6:30 this evening. There will be a mission outreach meeting on Thursday night at 7. That's the 16th at 7. And it will be here at the church. And then our newsletter deadline will be on Friday. Now, this is something that is different from the way things ordinarily are, because the person who is doing the newsletter, Larry, is going to be out of town and needs us to have everything for the newsletter turned in by Friday, the 17th, which is this Friday. And that's an absolute hard deadline. And of course, I'm preaching to myself here, because I hardly ever meet the deadline. And I have to meet it this week. Also, it is Lent, but we are looking forward to Easter, and one of the things we like to do is buy Easter lilies. And you'll notice the Get Connected slip in your bulletins, and if you would like to purchase an Easter lily, you can get that ordered and turned in. We're going to make sure that we have enough for everybody, so we wanted to get that process started. Our mission's emphasis for the month is the America for Christ offering, an offering that supports what we used to call home missions among American Baptists. And now it really is about revitalizing congregations and about doing ministries here in America. And our goal is $700, and we ask for your prayerful consideration for that emphasis. I think I've made all the announcements I need to make. As I mentioned earlier, today was the day we changed our clocks forward, and so we have our tradition of bringing our change for the change. And we have our container here in the front, and those of you who would like to bring your change forward at this time may do so as Mary Lou plays for us on the organ. Stand together and sing hymn number 2150 in the faith we sing. Lord be glorified.
Will the ushers please come forward? Let us remember the verse in Psalm 96, verse 8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come in to His courts. Let us pray. As we bring our tithes and offerings, Lord, we praise You for Your bounty and the opportunity to give back and serve You. Bless these gifts for the work of Your church. Amen. Thank you.
As we come to this time of prayer, are there joys or praises or concerns that you would like to share this morning?
Being an Irishman, it's a joy to have St. Patrick's Day coming up this week.
I would like to have prayer for a young man whose name is Jace Perez. He is in a Michigan hospital on a ventilator, suffering from stomach cancer, and he is very, very ill. My daughter has been ministering to him via telephone and so on, and giving him some real spiritual guidance along the way. So he needs a lot of prayers and a lot more spiritual guidance, so we'll just ask for prayer for him.
I'm Debbie's sister. I'm glad to be with you today, and I bring greetings from First Baptist Church of Malvern, PA.
Welcome. It is good for us also to pray for our country and its leaders and for those who serve. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear God, we are grateful to be able to come to you in prayer and know that you hear us and that you know the words we say and the ones we don't, the prayers we have expressions for and the ones we pray silently. We are thankful that for your caring love in our lives, for giving us life, for giving us meaning and purpose, for taking care of us so that we might be able to accomplish that purpose in our lives. We are thankful because many times we work against that purpose of our own free will. We choose to serve other means. And very often we run into trouble, and you are forgiving towards us and redeeming, reconciling, and we are thankful. We pray that you would direct and guide our lives each day and each week, that we might discover what that purpose is, that we might discover your love and grace. We thank you for the relationships that we have here in this church and in our lives, family and friends. And we pray that you would help us, that we might be better able to love. We are thankful that you are at work in our lives and in the world. We pray that you would continue to work behind the scenes so that when we see things falling apart, we might also see things coming together. Pray that you would be with those who are unable to be with us today. There are some who are sick and some who are traveling, some whose journey has taken them away from us. Care for them and bring them back safely as you bring us all. In Christ's name, amen. Our song of meditation is number 44. Unto the hills around shall we stand together and sing. Thank you.
Our scripture reading comes to us from the 121st Psalm. Hear these words with me. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. May God add a reading. May God add a blessing to the hearing of His holy word.
There's an old movie from the 1960s with John Wayne and Kirk Douglas called In Harm's Way. Some of you may know the movie. It shows up on television every now and again. And I kind of like to watch it when it comes on. The movie is set in World War II in the Pacific Theater, beginning with the attack on Pearl Harbor, and then it extends into what I assume are fictional operations that never really happened, but serve mainly as a dramatic stage in order to examine the impact of war on the lives of the people who fight it. And it's not mainly the physical impact of being in the Army or the Navy, the experience of combat, getting wounded, things like that, but the effect of war on relationships, parent-child relationships, marriages, friendships. And one of the ironies of war that is exposed in the efforts of these people who are trying to live healthy lives, they're trying to be well-adjusted in the middle of such chaos, in the middle of such an indecent situation, is the question, how are people to be healthy in such an unhealthy world, in such an unhealthy circumstance? Of course, a major war is a good setting for that kind of thinking. But even when the world is not fighting a major war, and I qualify this by saying that it seems like there's always a minor war somewhere, and minor wars are not minor to the people who are fighting them. The only safe conclusion that we can draw, though, is that the world itself, whether there is a World War II on the scene or not, is an unhealthy place. And there are many dangers and risks that must be run. Which means, to be alive is to be in harm's way. Last week, the sermon was about guilt, because that was what the reading was about. And it was a different psalm, and it was about guilt and forgiveness, which is one of the ways we are all impacted by the risks and dangers of life. I mentioned then that there are other sources of anxiety besides guilt, and the Bible speaks to us of redemption in other ways than forgiveness. And the 121st Psalm is such an example, because it does not really speak to the issue of sin and forgiveness. And very interestingly, it does not really address the question of death, which is one of the other great sources of anxiety. Instead, it seems to focus on the period of time that we are in this life and the harm that might come to us along the way. While the fear of death may stand behind that fear, the concerns expressed here in this psalm refer, it seems to me, more to the pain and suffering we fear and maybe experience while we are here. We live on a sphere, a ball, with 8 billion people, each with basic needs that must be daily met, and sometimes the way we go about meeting those needs is not very tidy. And sometimes not just. And there are no guarantees that they will be met. Sometimes they are not. And the fear can be paralyzing. The reference in this psalm is to the mountains. I've lived most of my life in the middle of that basin for the Mississippi River that Mark Twain wrote about in his book, Life on the Mississippi. 1.25 million square miles of land that all drains into the middle. It stretches from the Appalachian Mountains in the east to the Rockies in the west. and is mostly characterized by rolling terrain that we so unceremoniously call plains, as if it was plain. My experience of the last 20 years has been that I've spent a great deal of time driving through those plains on my way to one place or another, to Ohio, for instance. I was in southern Illinois all those years, and I used to drive all over southern Illinois following my sons around in all their activities, and mostly what it is a cornfield. And after you've driven for 300 or 400 or 500 miles in a cornfield, you can sort of understand how that too might serve as a metaphor for some kind of security or safety. I've always loved the majesty and beauty of mountain vistas, and there have been times in my life when I thought I might like to live in the mountains. And perhaps that draw comes from the fact, if I'm right to believe, that I'm Scottish by heritage, and thus Celtic. Perhaps my draw to the mountains comes from some inherited biological trait, from having descended from people who lived in the high country. My oldest son, for instance, is spending more and more time in Colorado and says to me that he is seriously looking for jobs there, which is okay, but it's the other mountains that are farther away. Perhaps his Celtic background is working on him. But I say all this just simply to say that in the end, I find a kind of safety and security from living in the middle of the country, where there are no oceans and not much in the way of mountains. And in southern Illinois, we don't have hills, unless they're artificial hills, usually coal mine slag piles. There was one town that I used to go to called Hillsboro. They had a hill, and they called the town Hillsboro. And it was nothing like a mountain. I find a kind of security in being able to drive for hundreds of miles and never leave the cornfield. Anyway, perhaps it's just a function of where we're from. It was a hill country person who wrote this psalm. And the Judean hills are big enough to supply the inspiration for the opening line. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? If it was me, I might have prayed to the God of the plains, where a person could put both feet on the ground and walk for a while without falling off of anything. But the mountains do make a good metaphor. Even now, in modern times, when we know about outer space and geologic time and about how even the mountains are worn down, to us, in our lifetimes, they seem so permanent and so strong. They are a good metaphor for shelter. So looking into the hills, he can ask the question, where does my help come from? And then give the answer. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There is no question that the solidness of the hills is seen here as a source of security. If it is given that we are in harm's way just because we are alive, and the conviction of the psalm is that the Lord will keep us from all harm, it is also given that we each do suffer harm along the way, one way or another, at one time or another, just the same way we suffer guilt along the way, at one time or another. And the same way in which we know that we will all die, and that hangs over our lives. Seems to me that this psalm addresses that middle period. The harm that might come to us, and the anxiety that is caused by the fear. It raises the question, what does it mean for us that the Lord watches over us and keeps us from harm's way? The psalm itself is a prayer of gratitude. It's a prayer of faith, and it doesn't really get into details all that much. It just tells us the fact of God's loving care. First thing we might say, in answer to the question, what does it mean that God cares for us and keeps us from harm, is to acknowledge and be grateful for all the ways in which we experience life's goodness. Life is not all suffering and pain, and there are things to look forward to and anticipate, as well as things to fear. There are many fascinating and wonderful episodes in life. There's births. There's beauty. There are victories as well as defeats, and there are reconciliations as well as estrangements, and there is pleasure. Pleasures that force us to conclude that it is better to have lived and suffered some than it is not to have lived at all. You should never lose sight of that. Every good thing that happens is God watching over us. Beyond that, we believe that each of us individually and all of us taken together are a people being prepared for eternal life. And that part of our preparation is learning to trust. Part of it is learning how to be good, to grow up to salvation. The theological term for this is called sanctification. And of course, sanctification is such a religious word, I'm not sure we use it very much anymore. It's a way of saying that life is a school and we are learning. To say that God watches over us and cares for us means that He makes sure our preparation is complete and our salvation secure. That nothing that we face during the course of our life, no hardship, no struggle, or even no blessing, can keep us from the goal of our salvation. We are never promised that it would be easy or painless. The hardships we face are not suffered in vain, but serve as a part of a journey, which means that our struggles are redeemed, even in this life, because they, by grace, shape our character. They help us to become courageous. They teach us what the meaning of kindness and generosity and compassion are. And they give us hope, which is to say, they have a purpose. I think it's important to believe that the hardships we face have a purpose, because imagine what it would be like if we didn't believe that. Come to the conclusion that they were senseless and that they were unredeemable. And we each too have been given a purpose. So God's providential care means that nothing can happen to us that will keep us from that purpose. This psalm is a statement of faith and confidence, and the hills are a source of inspiration for that confidence. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills as a sign of God's strength and permanence in a world of risk and danger. And one thinks of the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because you are with me." Any harm that comes to us is not beyond that which we are enabled to endure without it resulting in our good. Our help comes from the one who put the mountains in their place and the plains in theirs, and the oceans and the solar systems and the galaxies. Our help comes from the one who puts me in my place and you in yours, the one who cares for each one of us and for the world, which is our home. It is in that faith that we can have healthy lives, or at least healthier lives, no matter what comes our way, good or evil. The faith of this psalm is that the dangers we face can do us no real harm. And there is a liberating peace that comes in that faith, which is expressed in this psalm. Liberating faith that is encouraging and uplifting. And my experience has been that when I'm in the deepest darkness, it's only temporary. Things tend to work out in ways I didn't plan. And sometimes things work out in spite of me, in spite of my inability to take care of myself. Paul speaks of the peace that surpasses understanding. This is a psalm of that peace. And while it may not be true that life on a mountain is peaceful, I think it is true that to live at the base of a mountain and see it every single day can provide peace. Just like driving through a cornfield can be a source of security and comfort. May that peace accompany you and each of us throughout this wonderful journey of life. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, we pray that you would grant us peace and security and comfort. We pray that you would give us strength and courage. Each of us faces different things in life, and some of those things are threatening. We are anxious. Help us. May the words of this psalm be true, that you watch over our lives and keep us from all harm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 317, Blessed Assurance. Shall we stand and sing together? One of my anxieties in life is preaching in front of my old friends that knew me when I wasn't a preacher. So, say hello to my old college roommate, Warren, and his mother, Dorothy, who are visiting with us today. I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. I think that's the first time. Lord, we pray that you would go with us from this place with a sense of safety and peace and security in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.